Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech. And this week's opening quote comes from Ben Franklin. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Well, whether you are a fan of Benjamin Franklin and his hidden exploits at the Hellfire Club or not, which I would suggest are pretty underhanded, there is certainly a lot of truth contained within that quote, ladies and gentlemen. And freedom of speech and freedom of thought are two of the things that are very much under attack from this government system. And I'm expected to see quite a bit of chaos in 2019. Things really look like they're ramping up. The political situation certainly hasn't improved. There's far more theatre coming down the pike for everybody. Talk of impeachment of Trump and all sorts of stuff. I mean, I really doubt that will happen. But we're certainly seeing a lot of chaos anyway. The protests in France are continuing and seem to be taking off around the world as well. I really hope they pick up some steam. And of course, these protests are being vilified by the media. But really, it's a good thing, folks. What the protesters are doing in France basically is telling everybody to boycott the system. Non-compliance, folks, they're telling people not to shop at big supermarkets, to go and buy from farmers' markets, and to return the power to the people. And that's a very good thing, and that's something that needs to be done in every country on earth. It really does, most especially here in Australia. Australia really is one of the most corrupt and controlled places on earth, folks. It's a beautiful country, Australia, were it not for the government and the police, who are some of the most brutal on earth and some of the most profoundly stupid on earth. And of course, a combination of ignorance and power is a very dangerous combination for anybody to have. And really, as far as Western standards go and the Western world goes, Australia really is leading the way as far as police states and government corruption. We just get away with all sorts of things here, folks. People get pulled over by the police and subject to drug tests and breath tests and checked up on all the time just to make sure they're not stepping outside the lines. Even though they haven't committed any crime, they're not under any suspicion at all, but the police will just pull you up and harass you just to check to see if there's any way they can extort some income from you. And the government gets away with all sorts of stuff like this, and it just goes beyond what anyone will believe is possible. You know, they're imprisoning children, even though we know they're being abused in detention centres in Villawood and out on Nauru. We put refugees out on the islands in Nauru. Innocent people trying to escape tyranny, we just put them in prison. Because, of course, we don't have any room for refugees here. We've got a country that is twice the size of Europe with 26 million people in the country, so we can't fit any more people in here unless they are migrants that are being brought in to undermine the social structure of Australian culture. We can always fit those people in, but anybody who is really, truly needy, who is a real refugee and suffering a state of real hardship, well, we just throw them out onto an island in Nauru. There's no point putting these people here because they can't really serve the government agenda in any way, so we may as well just forget about them out of sight, out of mind, and don't let the media report it to anybody, and just treat them like non-humans because that's the Australian government way. Well, it's certainly Peter Dutton's way anyway. Peter Dutton is a textbook sociopath, folks, absolute psychopath with absolute disregard for the well-being of anybody but himself, apart from, of course, the corrupt banksters he so willingly supports, as all politicians do. These days, it's just the way of the world. But that's Australia, folks. It's an incredibly corrupt place. You know, as I said, incarcerating children, they disarmed the people, so we can't do anything about it. With the false flag shooting that the government staged at Port Arthur many years ago, it was the worst massacre in the world at the time, and of course it was staged by government. It's every evidence that it was staged by government. There's the phone conversations that were heard during the event, which clearly showed that there was police in the house with Martin Bryan. It was the police who were doing the shooting. There was the fact that the Tasmanian government bought a mobile mall just a couple of months before the event and then sold it after the event. There's also the little detail that the gun that was used for the event was actually confiscated by Victorian police a year before the event, so one might question how it ever got to Tasmania into the hands of Martin Bryant. There's also the fact that the police were called to the other side of the island on a wild goose chase, and the event didn't take place until the police rang up and informed their superiors that they were on a wild goose chase, and when their superiors knew that all the police were on the other side of the island, then the shooting was staged. The fact that there's video footage of a Channel 7 helicopter there while the shooter is walking out of the cafe where the shooting occurred, not to mention the fact that whoever did the shooting must have been one of the world's best shooters, because even an Olympic shooter has stated that he would be very hard pushed to achieve that amount of accuracy in that amount of time. And just consider for a moment just how good this shooter really was, folks. All head and neck shots and all shot from the hip by a man who'd never had any firearms training. And in less than 30 minutes at 6 separate crime scenes, 35 people were shot dead, another 22 were wounded, and 2 cars were stopped using only a total of 64 bullets. On one occasion when he went for a car, there was a car that was driving down the road towards him, he'd fired one sighting shot into the car, then a second to disable the driver, and then a third shot directly into the motor block to disable the vehicle. This is a known military combat technique for disabling vehicles. Very few people know of this technique, and only a handful of experts can master it with only 3 bullets, and this awesome display of combat marksmanship was blamed on an intellectually impaired young man who had no shooting or military experience at all. Think about it, folks. Now, when you look at it, there is absolutely no doubt in looking at any of the evidence, in fact, all the evidence strongly says and tells you with no uncertain scientific terms that Martin Bryant killed no one at Port Arthur. This crime was committed by the Australian government in order to disarm the people. End of story. A very telling point, of course, the fact that the accused Martin Bryant never went to trial, and of course he never went to trial, because if he had gone to trial, the evidence would have shown that he wasn't guilty, because all the evidence suggests he was completely innocent of the affair, and that was used to disarm the Australian people. Little Johnny Howard did that one. Maggot Magoo, we like to lovingly call that man, one of the most corrupt politicians in the world. But again, that's just the Australian government way, and they're continuing to do everything they can, folks. They're ramping up the debt slavery. And did you know that the Australian government is still supplying massive amounts of weapons and logistics support to the Indonesians in their genocide of West Papua as well? This is something that never makes the news, and something that the Australian government has its fingers in very, very deeply. All the companies just love profiting from the destruction of people and the abuse of life. That's what the Australian government seems to be based on. After all, Australia was created as a prison colony to begin with, and the prison guards who run the place have never really lost that mentality, and they've just got more and more brutal as the years go on. And they've done their best to make sure that there's absolutely no way the people of Australia can ever stand back or stand up for themselves. Now, you're not even allowed to defend yourself in Australia. If someone hits you, you should call the police. If you hit them back, you may hurt them and they may charge you. I mean, it's ridiculous, folks. I think we should ignore that. And I think if anyone does attack you, you should defend yourself by whatever means possible and screw the police and screw the government. It doesn't really matter what they say. They're the criminals who create all the problems to begin with. They're the ones who put everybody in a state of scarcity so that crime is committed to begin with. In fact, all of the problems and all the crime we see on the earth today exists because it's legislated by governments to exist. That's what governments are for. They're just there to mess everybody else up, folks. That's the purpose of government. They're certainly not there to provide any good for people. It's just a case of racketeering, and the media propaganda which supports it and trains the people to go along with it, of course, due to this corrupt education system. I'll tell you, folks, if you really want to see freedom in the world and you really want to make some change to the world, the best thing you could ever do is pull your children out of the government-run education system and set up your own people's education system so you can teach your children about reality rather than them being trained to support the government slavery system. That would be the best thing everybody could do. That's where we really went wrong, folks, is when this corrupt cacistocracy of psychotic parasites managed to gain control of the education system and basically teach bullshit to the children and teach them to be subservient little drones that always do what the government says. That is the biggest problem we face, and that is really how these psychopathic parasites were able to get control and gain control of people's minds so effectively. You know, the television and the newspapers and even social media to a degree now, I mean, social media promotes a very superficial reality to people, but control of the newspapers and the television, of course, propagates this corrupt system and feeds people the information the government wants them to have. But the thing is, they wouldn't ever even believe this. I mean, they wouldn't seriously allow themselves to be subject to the rubbish that they're fed by the controlled media were it not for the fact that they've all been cleverly indoctrinated through this corrupt education system to begin with. You know, the education system has trained them to always respect authority and to always believe the television is telling them the truth when nothing could be, in fact, further from the real truth. You know, control of the education system has always been key in supporting this system, perpetuating this system. Without control of the education system, people would actually be able to think, and they would be able to think critically and objectively, and they would certainly question their surroundings a lot more than they do. But that's something the education system beats out of people. It undertakes extraordinary efforts to ensure that people conform to the government way of thinking. And any independent thought or any free thought is attacked, vilified, punished, and weeded out as quickly as possible. You know, by control of the education system, you're really able to create any type of society you want. You know, and by teaching people that if they wish to explore further about society or further about history or further about anything, what they should do is consult the textbooks, the government textbooks and the official university textbooks, because this is where they will find what they're looking for. But really, all of this stuff is controlled and contrived. And when you control the flow of information in this manner, you are able to control not only what people think, but also their perception of reality, their perception of what reality is, what it's made of, their scientific perception of reality. You know, if people think that everything needs to fit within a certain scientific box, then they're not going to look at anything outside that box, even if that box isn't real. There might be all sorts of stuff that doesn't fit into that box, and if we were to look at it, we would find answers to all these things that are termed as great mysteries. But no, you can only find the answers within this box. That's what we're taught anyway. And so that's why there are so many mysteries. That's why we don't know what's going on with history. Why so many mysteries about history have existed for so long, because we're taught that it all must fit within the academic box. And the academic box is constructed in such a way as to teach people a false reality and to prevent people from ever really thinking for themselves and really asking the questions that they need to ask. And the education system, it simply doesn't educate. That's the problem with it, folks. It doesn't educate. It indoctrinates. It certainly doesn't educate us on the true nature of the world, and it certainly has not told us the true version of history. You know, if the education system had any validity at all, then why doesn't anybody know about the nation of Tartaria that I've been talking about so recently on the show? Why don't people know that the early maps of America show California as an island, and why isn't there any record of what happened that changed the landscape in North America and joined the island of California to the mainland? Because the maps that show California as an island are only really a couple of hundred years old, and it isn't just one map. It's many maps that show California as an island and that show quite a sizable inland sea in the United States with quite a sizable river flowing down to New Mexico. Why aren't we taught what happened here? Why aren't we taught how the landscape changed? Again, why aren't we taught about the true history of Tartaria? Why aren't we taught anything of value at all? All we are taught is how to function within this corporate world. Children going to school now aren't even taught to write. They're saying, oh, they don't need to write because they can text each other. They can use keyboards. They don't need to know how to write the letters themselves. So it's not only indoctrinating people into how to think, but this so-called education system is not educating people. It's actually taking education away from people. It's training people to be stupid, and it's removing people of the basic life skills any education would provide, any form of education would provide these basic life skills to people. Without basic life skills, all you do is become dependent upon a system which really does not care about you. Because this system doesn't care about people. If it did care about people, it wouldn't be dumbing them down and indoctrinating them and feeding them poisons the way it does. I mean, look what they've done to the food, ladies and gentlemen. It's all full of chemicals, all full of toxins, all full of GMO, all full of stuff which doesn't even support human life. Go and buy some McDonald's chicken nuggets, you'll find they're made of half sawdust. And the rest of it is some sort of jelly that they're using. I mean, what is this stuff? I mean, look at McDonald's French fries. They've been identified as having at least 16 carcinogenic chemicals added to them, and people have got to wear hazmat suits to harvest them, and they use claws. They don't dare touch them with their hands. They use some sort of a metallic claw to harvest these things because they're so toxic. Then, of course, they take them down and cook them up into fries and feed them to you. Yum, yum. You know, there's new vegan burgers that have gone on sale in the United States, and it's made by a company which also makes various other fast foods, but now they've cornered the vegan burger market, and these vegan burgers are made from GM, Monsanto foods, soy-based products, all being promoted as being wonderful by Bill Gates, the world-famous eugenicist. So if you're eating these vegan burgers, what are you really feeding yourself, folks? I mean, you may be against the killing of animals and all that sort of stuff, but if you're eating food that's vegan GM food and it's approved by Bill Gates, then you're probably better off eating a hamburger. And honestly, if it's being promoted by Bill Gates, you're probably better off eating cardboard. And we're being poisoned on all counts, folks. The poison in the food is just one part of it. You know, the sounds we're subject to, the light frequencies we're subject to, the spraying in the skies, just the vaccination situation, folks. And people who are out there who are still promoting vaccinations, for God's sake, get the rocks out of your head and look at the statistics. And why on earth would you believe anything this corrupt criminal cacistocracy of lying parasites tells you? You know, when they're waging war all around the world and they're doing everything they can to keep us down, lock us in debt slavery, all these fake wars, all these incarcerated children, all the complete and utter bullshit they tell us, why on earth would you believe them on vaccines? It defies all logical analysis, ladies and gentlemen. Vaccines have done an enormous amount of damage to this earth, an enormous amount of damage to people. And honestly, we really have to see how we're being played and remove ourselves from the clutches of these criminal psychopaths who are running the world. And it's all such theatre, folks. As I've said, they all work together. Don't think that there's different governments in different countries. It's all the same government. It's all the same crime family. All this whole war on terror, all of these wars that have been fought all over the world, the destruction of Syria, the destruction of Yemen, these are just the next places on the list. They did Europe, they did England, they did the United States, now they're doing the Middle East. They probably did Australia before that, and God knows where else they did. And it's the same war that's been waged for the last 200 or 300 years, possibly even 400 years, this war's been going on, folks. It's a war that's been waged against the people by a bunch of psychopathic parasites. You know, none of it is fought for the reasons that we're told. None of it is fought on the grounds that we're told. It's all just to wipe out infrastructure and to wipe out as many people as they can during the process. And it's just one big scam by one big worldwide crime family, which is running the human race into the ground very, very deliberately. And this is what they are standing up against in France, and it's what everybody should be standing up against all around the world. You know, there's no friend that you have in government. There is no government system that's going to work. There's no state that is going to save you from the state, and no member of the state that is going to save you from the state. A lot of people are still on the Trump train, thinking Trump's going to do the right thing. You know, if he wanted to do the right thing, he could have already done it, folks. And his support for the state of Israel really knows no bounds and should be all the evidence that anybody needs to show that he's just part of the same club, folks. The fact that Hillary Clinton's not in jail yet, what's this woman still doing free? Why are people still waiting for these sealed indictments and all this sort of stuff? It's just one big joke, folks. It's just one big puppet show. And this is another reason why I think there's going to be something major happen in 2019, because they're just stringing the people along as much as they can, preparing for some event, whatever it is. But I definitely think we are heading for some type of event and something that will probably make 9/11 pale into insignificance. No doubt Mossad is cooking up their plans as we speak, because you can really find Mossad fingerprints on all of the terrorist events that you see happen in the world, folks. I would suggest there's even Mossad fingerprints on the Port Arthur massacre that I mentioned earlier. There's certainly Mossad fingerprints on the 9/11 attacks and many other events that we see around the world. There's no doubt about that. There's even Mossad fingerprints on Fukushima, folks. There's Mossad fingerprints on the migrant influx into Europe. The animosity towards Libya that ended up in the brutal murder of Gaddafi live on television. And with Donald Trump's daughter marrying directly into this Jewish hierarchy, I certainly doubt that we're going to see any decrease in the number of these Mossad terrorist attacks. In fact, I think they have been very emboldened by the Trump presidency and by the other many corrupt governments around the world who have followed Trump's lead and decided to move their embassies to Jerusalem, the Australian government included. This, of course, is a move which is designed to allow and embolden any further human rights abuses against the Palestinian people and make it possible for Israel to steal the rest of Palestine the way they've stolen what they already have. And I would urge everybody to keep a very close eye on Gaza Strip at the moment, folks, because it would appear that Israel is planning something truly horrible for Gaza. We can tell by the amount of skyrockets, these useless pieces of junk that Hamas has been sending into Israel lately. Hamas, of course, is an Israeli operation just as much as everything else. And the rocket attacks from Hamas have always provided Israel the excuse to run live weapons tests on Gaza. You notice when you buy weapons, or any military that buys weapons from Israel, the weapons always come with the little tag saying combat tested. And that's because they go in and carry out acts of terrorism against the people of Palestine on a daily basis and test all their weapons out. That's what they get Hamas to send rockets over into Israel for, so it gives them the excuse to cry victim all the time and go and murder a few more people in Gaza whenever the truth about Israel becomes a little bit too public for them to bear. And incidentally, the acts of terrorism which have been carried out by Israeli settlers against the innocent people of West Bank has in fact tripled in the last year since Trump announced his moving of the embassy. Like I said, this has just emboldened these psychopaths to carry out more acts of terrorism. And you've got to understand that the settlers in Israel are far more brutal even than the government. These are probably some of the most inhumane people the world has ever known. The Israeli settlers in West Bank, they are absolutely brutal people who carry out wanton slaughter and daily acts of terrorism against the Palestinians, even against children, and they are subject to absolutely no recourse for doing so. I mean, that's why they do what they do, folks, because they know they are above the law. They know they can just get away with it. They can just cry knife attack or whatever. And it doesn't even matter if they don't cry knife attack. They can just do whatever they want to do, and they'll get away with it. You might recall just a few years ago, there was a man who set fire to a six-month-old Palestinian baby, and he was let off prison scot-free, given a slap on the wrist, and told that, well, he didn't really do anything wrong. That's the mentality of these people, folks, and that's the sort of stuff they can get away with, and that is the sort of treatment that the Palestinians are subject to every day. You know, and the world doesn't care. The world doesn't say anything. The media does not report the truth. The media is incredibly biased because all of the media outlets on earth are controlled by Israel. If they weren't controlled by Israel, we'd probably know the truth about the Port Arthur massacre here, folks, but we don't because, as I said, it was very likely a Mossad operation, as most of these acts of terrorism are. And if you look, folks, you'll find out that I'm telling the truth with this. You can look at just about anything. The Charlie Hebdo shooting, the Paris attacks, the Madrid bombing, the 9/11 attacks, even going back a few years to things such as the Levon affair, the attack on the USS Liberty. Even when you look at how America got involved in World War I, it was through Jewish interest wanting them to get involved, and that involvement happened due to the sinking of the Lusitania. So who was involved in making sure that ship went down as well? In fact, where did the conflict that was World War I and World War II even come from to begin with? Because if you have a good look at those operations and even the Bolshevik Revolution, I mean, it goes on and on and on, you look at all of these things and you'll find that there are Jewish fingerprints on pretty well all of them. And that's not being anti-Semitic, folks. It's just looking at the evidence and not denying the evidence. I mean, we've got to the point that we have to call these things out for what they are. We can't be scared of things such as the Holocaust, you know, allowing people to get away with murder because they were once victims. It doesn't make sense at all. And I even question the fact that they were even victims. I mean, I very openly questioned the Holocaust on more than one occasion, and I continue to do so, irrespective of what legislation, whatever parasites have written down, which is claiming that I am not able to think for myself. Yeah, I'll just continue to do so because that's what I do, and that's what people should do. Everyone should think for themselves and stop obeying the dictates of government. Now, if we did that, I think we could actually make a better world very, very quickly, folks. The problem is that people are cowed and people are kept in a state of fear. You know, everybody's in fear of their governments, and this fear needs to stop. You know, if you're in fear of your governments, why would you think your governments are there to protect you? And honestly, I don't know anybody who is not in fear of their government. I mean, you might be someone who says, oh, I'm not in fear of government. I support my government. But ask yourself and be truthful about it. How do you feel when you get a letter from the government? How do you feel when you get a tax bill from them? How do you feel when they call you? Do you feel safe and secure and like everything's good and they're just ringing up to tell you what a wonderful person you are? Or do you feel like they're wanting to extract something from you, that you're under threat by them, that you may get in trouble for not doing the right thing, or may get in trouble for thinking the wrong way, or not saying what they want you to say, or doing what they want you to do, or walking between the lines, or whatever other rules they put in place? Think about it, folks. Everybody in every country lives in fear of the people across the border, and they live in fear of their own government, and it's the same in every country around the world, and it's just ridiculous. It really is. You know, we've got to stop this, and we've got to realize where these problems are coming from and look at the root core of the problem and address it from the root core. And as I've said so many times, folks, you can blame government all you want, but really the root core of the problem is us. It is through our belief in authority and our willingness to comply with our own slavery. That is what has to stop. You know, and this is just the sad reality of our situation. It really is. With all the stuff that's going on in the world today, all the research that we're doing, all the things that are coming to light now, the mud flood, Tartaria, the Holler hoax, all of this sort of stuff, folks, through it all, with looking at all of these things and all the research that we're doing, we really need to be sure to not lose focus on what is happening around us and not lose focus of what these governments are doing and the way they are rolling this police state out underneath the carpet while everybody's distracted with everything else. And that's one of the things the internet has really done with people, is provided so many rabbit holes for people to go down and so many different ideas for people to share and so much argument for people as well. I mean, a lot of these things that we're looking at, we have no way of confirming apart from confirming them online. And what is real online? I mean, it's a virtual world. How do we know the information that we're getting online is not virtual information? You know, you've really got to get out and look at things for yourself. But again, as I said, through it all, it's imperative that we pay attention to what our politicians are doing and remove our support from these people. We really have to stop supporting this system and stop supporting our own slavery, folks. If we don't, we're going to be led through the gates of hell. And it's about time we realize that these gates are opening and they're right before us and we're about to march through if we do not pay attention. And what is a politician anyway, folks? A politician is someone who simply debates points of interest and tries to get the upper hand on someone else. A politician is not someone who should be running infrastructure, not someone who should be running government, not someone who should be put in a position of management. A politician is someone who argues points with other people and finds diplomatic ways through situations with other representatives of other countries and things. I mean, these are politicians, folks. It's politics. It's not government. It's two different things. Why on earth have we ever allowed politicians into government is beyond me, because these people are the root core of all the problems that we face. Even the programming that they've subject all the other people to via their control of the education system and just the rubbish that they do, folks. This is the worst scum in the world that we have allowed to rise to the top of the pond, and it's time we pulled the plug and flushed them away. But I think it's break time here, folks. I better leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the show today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so it's been a long road, you know, doing this truth activism, whatever we can call it. And in the time that I've done this, in the last 10 years since I've been on air, I really did hope to see some change in the world. But it seems pretty obvious to me that the governments are going to just continue what they're doing. The people just aren't really going to stand up and do anything about it. So really, the only thing we can do is to try to make things better in our own lives and to attempt to find our own way through this mess and to just be prepared for what is coming. That's really the best people can hope for, I think, is to be prepared for what is coming and to have a backup plan, at least to be able to know when everything hits the fan that we knew it was coming anyway. And to be mentally and spiritually prepared. I mean, physically prepared, sure, you've got to be physically prepared, but even more than that, you've got to be mentally and spiritually prepared for what is coming. And really, that's only by knowing yourself. That's the only way you're going to get through this. And those who are awake really can provide a safety net for those who are waking up and those who are caught off guards when things do go pear-shaped. You know, and that's something that we all can do. And it's important that we realize that, folks, and that we go through this life with no stake in the outcome. Irrespective of how chaotic things get and what sort of illusions are presented as reality to us, and I have no doubt at all that things are going to get very chaotic in the not-so-distant future. The thing is, though, when the world does go pear-shaped and things do get chaotic, if it gets to the degree that I would suggest it's going to get to, what you're going to find is that a lot of the police and military and even people within government, people within official positions are going to break ranks and they're going to join with the people because they're not really going to have much other choice. You know, it's going to get to a point where those who are working for the government now on the ground, such as police, who are basically acting as the stormtroopers for the overlords, are going to realize that they don't matter either. The overlords don't care about them any more than they care about anybody else. They've just been using these people to oppress their peers. And these people, I believe, will wake up to what is happening, and many of them will break ranks. I mean, there'll be people that will try to maintain their positions of authority, but many will realize that it's come down to the wire, and really it's the people for the people, and what it's really about is survival through what is coming and freeing ourselves from the corrupt system that has brought the world to the brink the way it has. And I think that is what we are going to see, folks. So all is not lost, even though it doesn't appear that we're going to be able to make too much difference to the system. We're just going to have to let it implode and collapse into the chaotic mess that it's destined to fall into, and make sure that when that happens, we are in a position to regroup and move forward from that point. You know, that we're in a position to see the opportunity that this chaos will create, the opportunity that comes from the crisis of the fall of this civilization. And really, folks, if you look at it and you look at what this civilization's done, there's really nothing to fear about the impending collapse of this slavery system, as long as you are mentally and spiritually prepared. And many people in the truth movement, I believe, are spiritually and mentally prepared for this. I suppose there's many who are not, but many people are aware that something big is coming, and many people are, in fact, prepared. So don't lose heart, folks, and don't lose hope. Because even though the world is degrading rapidly, you're going to find that when it does go pear-shaped, you're going to have a lot of support around you when you need it. You're going to have to discern who's good and who's bad and who you should trust and who you shouldn't, but the support, I think, will be there because people are going to realize that we're all together in this situation and that there is strength in unity, and if we do pull together, we can create whatever world we want. And personally, folks, I think that's going to be a good thing, and I'm kind of looking forward to it in some ways. I'm certainly not sold on the idea of maintaining this stability of this system anyway, because this system is steadily going downhill. It's steadily marching off the cliff, and it's dragging the whole world with it. So whatever happens, folks, it's got to be better than this. But whatever is going to happen, folks, it should be pretty obvious to anyone that the politicians are planning something. I mean, this system that we're in now simply isn't sustainable. Too many people are waking up. The economic system, I mean, how many people are going to continue buying into this economic model and allowing all this damage to be reaped around the world and believing that it's real? Now, too many people are in a state of scarcity now. And look what's happening in France. Look what's happening in many countries around the world. People have just had enough. So it's not sustainable. The politicians are getting backed into a corner. And you know, when you get a dangerous animal and back it into a corner, it usually lashes out. And that's what this system has done many times in the past. Look at the 9/11 attacks, look at the London bombings, the Madrid bombings, all this stuff. I mean, this is simply the politicians lashing out and creating situations whereby they can enact more legislation to give themselves more control. So all of it demonstrates just how desperate they are and just how threatened they're actually feeling by the people. You know, and think about the efforts that they have to undergo to lock us down and to keep us in this bubble that we're in, folks. I mean, they've got to poison the food, they've got to vaccinate us, they've got to dumb us down with education, they've got to feed us propaganda on the television, they've got to feed us modified food, spray chemicals in the sky, even change the light and the sound, folks. They have to go to an enormous amount of effort to keep us in this bubble, even change our language. And that's a big part of it, actually, the fact that they did change our language. You know, a few months ago I did a show and I talked about the work of Attila Flink and the fact that Magyar has been identified as what was very likely the worldwide root language. You know, and when you consider the concept that your understanding of reality is based on your understanding of the language you use and the words you speak, then you see why they would have changed the language. You know, but all of this stuff, when you look at it, you see just what an incredible effort they have to undertake and continue to undertake in order to keep us locked down. You know, fluoride in the water, it just goes on and on and on. Toxins in all the foods, probably fluoride in all the foods as well, fluoride in the table salt. Everything they can do, folks, to keep us so we're in a state of permanent daze, permanent cloud around our heads, just not thinking clearly even though we think we are. So when you consider this, folks, I mean, it's an incredible effort they have to undertake. All we have to do is step away from the system. And if this system collapses, if something happens, if there's a financial crash or whatever it is they're going to plan, terror attack, whatever it is these politicians are going to do, if we can see it for what it is, it's our opportunity to step away from this entire mess and to get back to what we should be. And I'm feeling really positive about it, folks, and I think a lot of people in the world are going to embrace it, and they're going to see it for what it is. And if those in the truth movement and the independent media have the wherewithal to see the opportunity that it's going to provide for us, then we can really lift our voices very loud, and we can, as I said, provide a safety net for those people who are wondering what on earth is going on. And hey, what this event is going to be, well, I don't know, folks, but it's coming. I can feel it. And if you think that the choice of what the future should be doesn't lie with the people, that it should lie with the politicians, then you've really got to look at what these people are, folks. They don't care about you. They don't care about people at all. Now, if you look at the Australian government that I was talking about before, Peter Dutton and all these people, think of the concept of the refugees that come over here that just get stuck on Nauru Island and left there. You know, could you do that? Could you do that to another person, a person in a state of suffering who came to you for help? If you were a person who ran a country, if you were in a position to give them that help, could you simply leave them to rot on an island the way they've done? You know, could you do the things that these politicians do to people? Personally, I couldn't. I couldn't let someone languish in jail for a crime they didn't commit the way they've done to Martin Bryant. I couldn't leave refugees locked in prison in Villawood Detention Centre with children being abused. I couldn't allow this to continue to happen. You know, I have a very difficult time leaving people in a state of suffering. I mean, I spend most of my life attempting to help everybody that I can. But this is not the mindset of politicians. You know, the world would not be in the state that it's in if it was not legislated to be that way. You know, refugees would not be languishing in detention centres if the politicians didn't want them to waste away in detention centres. Children would not be being abused in these centres if politicians did not want them to be abused. None of this would happen if the politicians didn't want it to happen. People would not be being dumbed down with education if it was not legislated to be that way. There wouldn't be fluoride in the food, there wouldn't be toxins in the food, there wouldn't be chemicals in the food, there wouldn't be genetically modified foods, there wouldn't be vaccinations causing autism to people and it being simply wiped off the list. You can't even report something as vaccine damage, they simply put it down as cause unknown. You know, I couldn't do that. And think about it, how could a person do that? If someone is a doctor and they've just injected your child with vaccines, the other day there were three triplets injected with vaccines. All three of them developed simultaneous autism and the doctors did not acknowledge that it was the vaccines that caused the problem. How could you do that? How could you be someone who is in a position of supposedly helping people, healing people, and see this right before your eyes and not say something about it? What, because you're constrained by legal fiction? Are you serious? That's your logic? That's your reasoning? I'd prefer to speak the truth and go to jail for it than care about legal fiction that stopped me identifying this problem. And I prefer to name the politicians who are threatening me with jail for daring to insinuate themselves over reality this way to the extent that they're causing damage to people the way they do. You know, people just need to grow a moral compass, and politicians do not have a moral compass. Or perhaps they do, it's just pointed in completely the wrong direction. And if you don't believe that, well, Exhibit A, the Earth. Have a look at the place. It's a mess because it's legislated to be that way. So that should be a sign for everybody. You know, politicians are not your friend. You're not going to find the solution with politicians. And the politicians are setting us up to be completely dependent upon the system, and then they'll just turn it all digital and lock us out, and then we'll be left with a situation like we saw in Bolshevism, or a situation like we saw in the Russian gulags, where people are just left to fend for themselves and end up eating each other. I mean, that is the other side of the coin. If we do not get some unity in this movement, if we do not get some unity with our neighbours, if we don't get some unity in this independent media, this truth movement, then that's the other option. You know, is that what you want? We don't want that. You know, we've got all these opportunities for freedom and all these opportunities for unity, all these opportunities to put our stuff down with each other and simply face the common foe that we're all facing, which is the government, and agree to disagree on all these small issues. Doesn't matter what your belief system is, it's irrelevant. We've all got a common foe, and that is the criminal cabal masquerading as government in this world, and that's where we need to put our focus, because if we don't, then they will succeed. You know, and there's a war being waged against us. It's a war that's been waged against us for a long time, for hundreds of years, folks. And it's still going on. The problem is that people simply don't know that they're on the battlefield. And no, I'm not saying be violent and lash out and fight back in that way. I'm simply saying stop complying with your own slavery. Stop supporting a system which doesn't support you. Because this system doesn't support you. You may think it does, but it doesn't, simply because you have to pay to be alive. That, my friend, is not support. That is economic slavery. And that is what this system is. That's how the farm works, folks. But like I said, I think we're in for a big year. I think we're in for a big couple of years. I mean, maybe things won't go completely pear-shaped this year. Maybe it'll be the year after. But I can just feel something coming, and all the dominoes are in place. America is in a state of complete chaos. Australia is getting more and more locked down. Europe is almost completely overrun with migrants now, but at least the people are standing up. And again, we're seeing yellow vest movements spring up all over the place. We've seen yellow vest rallies here in Australia, we've seen them in Canada, we've seen them in America. So people have had enough. We just have to make sure that any of these movements don't get co-opted. You know, what we need to have is a unity of focus, and that focus needs to be freedom. Remember that you're not going to find a remedy from politicians. We need these systems gone. We need these government systems completely abolished and a little bit of sanity installed in their place. And no, I'm not saying let's overthrow the government. It's not about overthrowing the government. It's about non-compliance. It's about not complying with your own slavery. You don't need to overthrow anybody to do that. All you need to do is change your moral compass. And get away from all of this social media and get away from Instagram and all of this other stuff. You know, get back in touch with what it means to be human. I mean, sure, you know, social media can have some benefits. I mean, I use Facebook and social media to share my shows and all that sort of stuff, but I don't go there and post my life on there and spend my time trying to get likes from people and interacting with people on social media all the time, using shortened versions of words and just locked into that system all the time. You know, it's such a superficial world, and it's not reality, and it's not helping change reality. You know, sure, you can share information on it, but sitting there chatting on it all day and thinking that you're doing something, wow, we've created this movement, we've got this huge group on Facebook. Well, it's on Facebook, it's in the virtual world. What about the huge group in the town that you live in that you need to change the town that you live in? That should be where the focus is. You know, it's just the way it is, folks. I mean, social media can be good to a degree, but people have become far too dependent on it. It's taken over so many people's lives, and it's just not a healthy way to be, and it's not a good way to be, and it's all been done by design. Of course it has. Now, the human race is under attack from so many levels, and social media is one of it. You know, the way they are molding people's minds with this stuff, this whole transgender revolution that we've got. You know, and again, there are people who are born with the attributes of both sexes. That's real transgender. The people who simply want to be the other sex, these are just delusional people, because it's not possible to become the other sex. You're born what you are, and it's a biological impossibility for you to change into something else, regardless of what operations you have and what you look like. That's the thing. But all this is about depopulation, the whole thing. But even with it, you know, the whole transgender revolution, I think half of it is because people have just had their minds confused by social media. And some of it is completely confusing. I mean, I saw an article the other day. I couldn't figure out how, what to make of this article, what to make of this person. It was a transgender man, a woman who'd become a man halfway through the transition, and she fell pregnant. Well, I'm supposed to say he fell pregnant, but how can that be? Because a man can't fall pregnant. But here we have a person halfway through transition who falls pregnant. So how did you fall pregnant? If you're a woman who's turning into a man, surely you want to be a man. So for you to fall pregnant, you would have to have had sex with another man. Yet if you want to turn into a man, wouldn't you be more interested in having sex with a woman? Because that's what a man does. So if you want to turn into a man so you can have sex with another man, then you're kind of like a woman who desires to be a gay man. What is all this about? This is just a complete mind bend. This is someone who appears to be so confused about their sexuality that they or a woman turning into a man who fell pregnant halfway through the process. They can't even figure out which gender they want to be or which gender they want to have sex with. And it's just all this result of this programming, and social media has done a lot of that as well. I mean, that's sort of a case, folks. I mean, how do you figure out a person like that? What is the desire of this person? What do you want to be? Do you want to be a man or a woman or a gay man? What do you want to be? It's just crazy. But whatever you want to be, I mean, you are what you are. That's just the way it is. That's called life, and you just have to deal with it. And really, life is about the journey. It's about what you do with it. It's about the growth that you get through this life. And whatever you're doing to set yourself up as this person, this is a really short period of your life. You're going to be old pretty soon, and it happens really, really quickly. You'd be surprised how quick you get old. It may seem like, oh, no, that's 40 years away. But I'll tell you, that 40 years is going to go in the snap of a finger, ladies and gentlemen. All this superficial stuff that the young people are doing to set themselves up for life, what they're doing is setting themselves up for a fall, setting themselves up to live a very lonely life. And that's really not what life is all about. There's far more to the world than just our physical appearance and our body and sex and all of this sort of stuff, folks. There's a whole higher self that's there as well. There's a whole experience that wants to happen. And a lot of this system is all about removing us from that experience and trapping us into these little traps that they build for us, like this whole transgenderism, making us believe that that actually means something and that life is all about your sexual preference, when really it's not. And that's the state of the world, folks. It's really gotten that ridiculous, and it's gotten to the point that people simply don't know much about themselves at all anymore. And as I said, it's all being done by design, folks. It's predictable. The rise of the androgen. And a lot of it is chemically induced anyway. That's why we're seeing such a rise in transgender people being born, like truly transgender people being born, because of the amount of estrogen in the food, the amount of estrogen in the medicines. I did a show about this a year or possibly 2 years ago called Some Truths That You Probably Don't Want to Hear. And I talked all about the plastics and everything that's been done to us with the food, which has created this massive amount of estrogen in our environment, which is feminizing the entire population and even causing women to have problems. Breast cancers and all this sort of stuff is on the rise simply due to the plastics and the food and everything that we're subject to. And it's all been done deliberately, folks, because they did tests back in the 30s and 40s and they identified these problems and then they went ahead and did it anyway. So the government gets what the government pays for, folks. That's the thing. You know, the government-controlled education system, you wouldn't have all these dumb people if the government didn't want them dumb, because the government pays for the education system. It controls the education system. If it wanted people to be educated, it would be a good education system, and it would be free. But it isn't. It's an education system which makes you stupid. And then if you want any further learning, they'll teach you 3 months' worth of work in 5 years and make you pay $200,000 for it and put you in debt for the rest of your life. That's what it's all about. So do you really think these people care about you? They don't. And frankly, I haven't heard any of these issues addressed by any politicians at all. Now, sure, we might be being told that there's massive amounts of pedophiles being arrested, but I don't know. Name one. Name one person that you know who's been arrested. Name one person of any prominence who's been arrested. Name anyone of any importance who's been arrested. Name one thing that has made the world better on the ground where you live since any of the current crop of politicians took office, Trump included, ScoMo included, Theresa May, Macron, doesn't matter who it is. Name one way your world has improved due to the actions of these people. Now, you may see stuff in the newspapers, but I'm talking about your life on the ground. How has it been made easier since these people came to office? Nothing's changed, and nothing will change until we choose to change it. You know, the decision for what this world should be and could be has always laid with the people. It's always been there in our hearts. We've just been very often too cowed and too scared to lift our voices and make our ideas heard. We're too scared of each other to unify with each other. We think everybody around the corner might be wanting to take advantage of us or rape our daughter or whatever, because we're kept in this box. Everybody's kept sexually repressed. And no, all this transgenderism is not sexual liberation, folks. Sexual liberation is simply being in touch with your sexuality. But people are kept sexually repressed because they're easier to control when they're sexually repressed. This is how they get control of all the politicians, folks. They brownstone them. You grow up in a society where you live in a state of sexual repression, so you've got all these repressed biological urges, and then they get you on video with some young minor or whatever, and they've got you. That's the way it works, folks. So it's a huge way that we're controlled. But apart from that, you know, people are just kept in a state of fear of each other and division of each other. Divide and conquer. And they're kept in a state where they're not able to think for themselves because they don't have time to think for themselves. Now, how often do you get a chance to just sit out on the porch and look at the grass and watch it grow? To go and stare at a cliff for a couple of days? Now, that's what the Aboriginal people used to do here in Australia. They'd go find a cliff or find some place and they'd just stare at it for 2 or 3 days and just take it in, take in the energy of it and observe it. How often do we get a chance to observe anymore, to really observe? To really take stock of the moment that we're in and experience the moment that we're in for what it is. You know, we don't really get a chance to do this in our lives because we're kept running on the treadmill. We don't have any time to really rest and really recuperate and really get back to what we should be because the system isn't designed that way. And when we do get time off, we sit in front of the television or we go to some government-approved designated enjoyment zone and we do the government-approved designated enjoyment activity. But we don't really get a chance to observe the world, observe ourselves, and just look at our life and think about what it is and what it's for, what reality is for, what our relationship is with other people, what we could achieve if we were left to our own devices, and what our capabilities really are, what our capabilities would be if our higher senses were online, if we were simply allowed to express ourselves to the greatest of our creative potential, what we could do. You know, but as I said, we're under attack from so many levels, even our language. Many people don't even understand reality because the words in their language don't exist to explain reality. And they've been trained to always think in language, and so their concept of reality is based on their understanding of the language that they use. And if the words don't exist within their language, then where do you go from there? You know, when you look at books such as 1984 by George Orwell, where they brought in Newspeak and they changed the language so there were certain words there that related to rebellion or dissent or freedom, these words were removed from the language so people didn't have any way of conveying those thoughts. And we think this is a place they want to take us to. This is a place that they wish to lead us into. But what if they already did? What if the words to explain our spiritual understandings, the greater concepts of the universe, and the words to explain what reality really is have already been removed from our language? And that's why it's so impossible for people to express the inner feelings that they have, simply because the words no longer exist with which they can do so. It's just something to think about, folks. It really is terrible what's been done to us, but as I said, I think there's a great opportunity coming this year if we can just pay attention and seize it with both hands when it manifests. Again, what it will be, well, we'll just have to wait and see. But whatever it is, I can certainly feel it coming. Well, again, we are getting very close to that time of the day, folks, where it is now at the end of the show. And as I mentioned last week, I'm not going to be able to bring you a show next week because I have 2 speaking dates and I'm simply not going to be here, so I can't do much about that. I will be speaking in Coffs Harbour next Thursday, the 17th of January, and you'll find a link to that event on my website, thecrowhouse.com, if you'd like to come to that event. And I'll be speaking the following day in Byron Bay on the 18th, Friday the 18th, around about lunchtime. If you go to the community centre in Byron Bay, you'll probably find you can get a day ticket for that event as well. And following that, I'll be speaking at Anacapulco, and that's just a month away. That's in Mexico, and I'm looking forward to speaking there and seeing everybody there. And they will be the only speaking dates I'm doing this year. I have been asked to go and speak at AV10 in the UK as well, so I'm kind of throwing that around. I haven't made my mind up quite yet, but at the moment I'm kind of humming and hawing about it, so I'll just see how I feel about that in a couple of weeks and see whether I feel up to the travel or not. It would be nice because it is a fantastic event. I really must say that Ian Crane's Alternative View events are some of the best alternate conferences that I've seen anywhere around the world. Ian does a fabulous job of these conferences. And if you are in England, even if I'm not there, I do recommend going to the Alternate View events. You'll get some very good information. I've been very impressed with the lineup of speakers that Ian gets. So do think about that, folks. And I'll let you know a little bit down the track whether I'm going to speak there or not. But at the moment, it's just going to be the event in Coffs Harbour, the one in Byron Bay, and Anacapulco in February. So do come along to that if you're in any way able. And again, I'm sorry, but I won't be able to bring you a show next week. But thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails. Thank you to the people who send me their books to read. I've got a couple of books here I've got to read. I'll try to get that done soon. I've just got a lot of books people send me, folks. It's difficult to get through them all. And thank you again to all those who support me on Patreon. Without you people, I couldn't do this, folks, because that's the only means of support that I have left. They keep shutting down my PayPals and everything else. And so thank you very much for the support you offer me there. You are the only ones that keep this show on the air. That is it for me, folks. I'll look forward to speaking to you again the week after next. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.